The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
I blow through here, and the music goes down and round. Ho, 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 and it comes on here. Press the first valve down, and the music goes down and round. Ho, 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 and it comes on here. Press the middle valve down, and the music goes down and round. Below, below, below. Ho, 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 listen to the jazz come out. Press the other valve down, and the music goes down and round. Ho, 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 and it comes out here. And it comes out here. Comes out of here.
Beware the Mars.
Music goes down and round, below, below, below. Ho, 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 now listen to the jazz come out.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Ha, the bell down.
Ha, 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 pal.
Wolfman Jagana, Hallelujah Trail.
The Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah Trail.
Now, another episode in the life of Sherlock Holmes, starring Wolfman Jack as the famous sleuth and Garibaldi as Dr. Watson.
I say, Holmes, your bank shot of the three ball off the 2, 7, 6, 3, 10, and 8 was quite a task, old man.
Oh, thank you, Watson. It's only a matter of physics, my good man, when one is playing pool. Your turn, old boy.
Okay, 5 ball, side pocket. I miss.
It's your stance, my dear Watson, your stance.
My stance?
Yes, you're not putting enough English on your balls, Watson.
Oh, well, I'll fix that, old boy. I'll just take...
Watson, what are you doing?
Watson, you've mistaken my point. I'll take this off right here.
Oh, my gosh, this is embarrassing.
Do you have my cue stick?
Watson,
I'll just put
you're
my...
putting your
I'll
balls
put,
in my pocket.
I'll put this cue stick right here, oh boy. I'll just pick this out of here.
Be with us again when we look at another unknown episode in the lives of Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
Thank you.
sunburnt sickleman of October weary, come hither from the furrow and be meadow once again. Be meadow, be merry once again, neo-postmodernists, wake up, it's night. This cyber tsunami called the internet continues to swarm through the lives of us all. My name is Frank Cotola. Man, his name is Don't Title of the Show. Mr. Tom Savino is with me. And of course, back again, Mr. Jeremy Long. We're going to be telling you how everyone is getting screwed and nobody cares. That's what we're here for anyway. And Cotola Grotto! Betcha that can mean only one thing. I think, does that work? Get that thing off there. Hello, from Mice Cat, the Wise Cat from Hamlet City, from the home to every bordello. Whew, and you're going to this bordello right here because we got to get to...
It's been a long time since I've talked to Tom.
Yeah, well, you know what? Jeremy Long, it's been a long time since Jeremy Long talked to Tom Savino. Tom Savino is here with us from his undisclosed location. Was I supposed to go to video or did it matter?
It doesn't matter to me. Can you hear me?
Sure. Can you hear me?
I can.
We shouldn't have to do that all the time. This is supposed to... Like, can you hear me? What is this? Well, we just started with these machines. We have no idea how they work. Yeah, we...
Wait, you know, it's weird. I can't hear me.
Really?
But I can hear you. Okay, as long as I hear you.
Yeah,
I've heard enough of me anyway.
I mean, you can't
hear me.
You're coming out of... Your mouth... Your voice is coming out of your mouth, isn't it?
It is. I feel the vibration.
But you have a headphone on, but you don't hear yourself in the headphone.
I don't hear myself in the headphones, maybe. But that's fine.
Okay.
Put
your monitor up. Jeremy's here. He's already started to talk over people. And
hey, Tom.
He's back from Comic-Con. Were you at Comic-Con?
No, I didn't go to Comic-Con this year.
Well, then what were you doing with Andrew Philip Seymour, whatever he's...
Which one?
Neil Patrick Harris.
That was just in New York City.
That was New York City. I thought Comic-Con was in New York City.
It was,
but you didn't go. You just went to New York City.
I just went to New York. I was just in New York City for a couple days.
I just heard that Neil Patrick... Is that Neil Patrick?
Henry. Neil Patrick Henry.
It's hard. Any guy has three first names is like, I don't know. Neil Patrick Henry. He's going to host the next Oscar Awards.
Yes.
Yeah, I talked him into that when I was...
You got him to do it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you've done everything else. Just why don't you host the Oscars? And he goes, you know, it took you, Jeremy, to finally convince me, but sure, I'll announce it tomorrow.
There he goes. And, of course, being as young as, whether they're entertainers or performers or politicians or what have you, but when they come out with books that are like the story of my life, that's weird. Is that because he started so young?
Probably.
Because his life is like nowhere near even half over.
Yeah, he
and he comes
when
out
he
with
was
a biography. And
sooner.
Well, but he comes out with a biography.
Well, but he has a lot to talk about because he has the whole, he's married.
We didn't have a lot to talk about too, all right? What do you think? This guy's special?
We talk for 2 hours every Thursday.
Yeah, we got it. Right, Tom? Can we talk about a lot of things?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but this is his first book and you have 12 books.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is,
In 1973. This is funny. Coincidentally funny. That I just came from a movie in which he had a major role.
Gone Girl?
What did you watch?
Yeah.
Oh, you
Gone
watched?
Girl.
Oh, he's
yeah.
in Gone Girl?
That was fantastic.
You know what? He was good. Well, I mean, he's always him. He was in 11,000 Ways to Kill in the West.
Yeah. He was good in that.
That was a good movie. That was pretty funny. You just like him. You say he's good in everything. He's like, you know, no one's good in everything.
There are some people that aren't good in everything, but
Jeremy Long has so many heroes.
I'm a very big. Well, yeah, Neil,
yeah, you too. It's amazing how many.
Not
people.
So many. I
oh,
think.
Come on.
On my real, there's on my real list of idols. There's my father, Neil Patrick Harris, and you, Frank.
Oh,
God. Well, one out of three ain't bad. I know your father and I are not, but let me do a little business here, and then we'll get to what we're going to talk about, because this is you miss Tom. Well, he's here.
Yeah, I miss you too.
And you can talk to him all you want.
I wasn't here the last time he was on the show, so it's been a while.
You didn't, Tom. Let's just say briefly, and then we'll talk about your show later, Tom. I want to get this stuff here done immediately, because there's a couple of things I do want to say. Number one, I just want to mention everyone the next week. Let me say that I don't usually do something that's very serious, but I was moved by something this week, and I knew exactly who to go find to talk about this. And by golly, she's coming on next week again, her third appearance here. Let me tell you first what I was moved by, and you could tell me if you saw it. You can't tell me. Well, you guys can tell me if you saw it. There's a girl. It was on the news. There's this girl who has brain cancer, and she moved to a state. I guess it's Oregon. There are three states where you're allowed to perform suicide on yourself. I you could perform suicide on anyone else. It's suicide.
Prescribed pills.
Right? And this girl is gorgeous a girl. Everything was going right for her. And then one day she forgot her husband's name. She'd just been married. What if she married a year or something like that? And then they looked into her brain and they said, I mean, it was the first thing they said. And I've known people who they just send home. They just go well, we're terribly sorry to say this, but you got maybe a month to live. And so she moved with her husband to one of the states because she does not want to go through. I don't know her name. We'll talk about it next week. But here's the point. When I heard about this, I thought immediately of Dr. Karen Wyatt, who has been on this show before. I immediately got in touch with her, and I said, would you – she's a psychiatrist. She's written a book, a wonderful book, which is so wonderful I don't know what it's called. It's called The Wonderful Book, and there's a long – we'll talk about the book later. But the point is that she –
I'm not finding that on Amazon.
She's a – yeah. You can look up her name on Amazon. She's Dr. Karen Wyatt, as in Wyatt Earp. And she's been on this show talk, and we had a couple of serious shows. She talked about suicide. She talked about this new product that she has, which is terrific. It's like you don't need a psychiatrist. You could do it all at home by yourself with this fantastic kit that you can buy. But we're going to promote that and talk about that too. But she is going to give us the lowdown on this, what is it called? Self-assisted suicide? What is it called anyway? Is it called something?
I think that's right, what you said.
Self-assisted suicide. And so she'll be on for the entire, she'll be an hour and a half. And we'll be talking about that. Talking about this specific girl will tell you all about it. And
there's already several counter articles of people being don't do it, never that. And then one big religious lady is all
sure, there's tons of there's a couple of sides to it, but I was really moved, and anybody who listens to this show and has over the years knows that it's really hard to move me. I'm unmovable.
As hard as it is to move me.
Yeah.
In fact, that was your upcoming book, was the Immovable Feast.
Right. Unmovable Feast. And feast would be debated by many also. This really bothers me on any number of levels. But Dr. Wyatt will be here to talk, and she's great. I suggest everybody listen. And everybody who doesn't hear it live, you can go. And this is on my next announcement. All this stuff is related. Juiced Talk Radio, or just juicetalk.com, is where you can get the archives of this show that goes back a couple of weeks. It's in operation. Some people were asking me, what happened? And I'll tell you why some people were asking me. Because something came up this week that I want to mention. Tom, you'll be interested in this because I think I sent you an email.
From the New York tech guy.
I didn't get an email.
Yes, you were in New York. You were too busy. Maybe your email is on Neil Patrick Henry's. Maybe they said, dear Neil and Jeremy. But I was remiss, and a couple of weeks ago, or after the show, I said that we got no mention at all from the Alumni Association of New York Institute of Technology. Tom Savino, Tom Martin, and I did a show about the days in college at the Knights of Pythias and of all places, New York City, where you were bumming around with Neil Patrick. I see you dressed up for him,
Neil
too.
Patrick
you put
Harris.
On your best suit.
Yeah, I put on a suit because he always wears suits, so we suited up together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he'd suit up with you, all right, if you want.
I'd be fine.
Yeah, and what did you say on the way out? He gave you an extra fist. What did you say?
No, we fist bumped.
Fist bumped. You fist bumped with Neil Patrick Henry. Well, that's fascinating.
Neil Patrick
about that. Harris Lingbard or whatever his name is. But anyway, here's what happened. I get an email from this guy named Jerry, and immediately I thought it was a scam. Because I'm getting still getting these scams. That's another thing I should talk about briefly, but I won't. We'll do that some other show. Here's the deal.
Have a whole show
the
on
deal
scams.
Is, yeah, well, we got another. I'll do another one on that. I'm now cooperating with the FBI, who I hear doesn't even care. I'm supposed to get in touch with Interpol. Interpol must have a website. Probably, I'll bet you it's Interpol.com. Okay, here's what happened. So I get this email, and the email from Jerry says, hey, he says, I read about you in the magazine, and I'd love to hear this show you did, because I went to the New York Institute of Technology in the 60s, mid-60s, and I'd love to hear the show. And I wrote back to him, and I said, well, I told him to go to Juice Talk Radio. I found the show where anybody can listen. You can listen to it right on the site, too. You don't have to download it. If for some reason or another you don't got enough CPI or CPU or stuff. But I'm reading his email. I'm going, what magazine? Right? What did he read about us?
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, earlier that week, I had gotten the New York Institute of Technology Alumni Magazine, which I always flip through vaguely. And I remember flipping through the one before because I wanted to see if they said anything.
Yeah.
And I was kind of rude over the air saying, well, you know, and they never got back to us. And then I said, yeah, they probably thought we were wacky and we were making fun. We did. But I mean, we were being honest about our teachers and everything. But sure enough, there was something under alumni, and they had my name there, and they said that, and they gave the website, and they said that we what is that, huh?
Tom fell asleep.
What happened?
I don't know. There was a strange sound. But anyway, so I want to apologize to the Alumni Association because they did, and when I went and checked, and I was wondering why we were getting so many. I was getting so many. So much traffic at the CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Apparently everyone was going over there going, what the hell is this all about?
Yeah.
You know? What the hell is this all about? So I want to thank them for doing that and all the people who sent in and all the people who have been listening to that show who have any idea what we were talking about. It's a fun show. If you've ever gone to college or you haven't thought about going to college or you ever thought about what college might have been like at another time in another place. And that was us. So I wanted to say thank you to them and to Jerry, whatever his name.
I think the traffic also.
Who heard it and loved it? So on. Juice Talk is working, everyone. You can go there. One more thing, and that fourculture.com is the other place. And fourculture.com, number 15. I'm in every one, and you can go get them, not just because of me. It's a cutting edge digital magazine. And number 15 is coming out shortly. Mm. And with, once again, another crazy, wacky piece by yours truly. And,
is that the number four culture or spelled out?
Spelled
four,
out. Spelled listen. Out. FOUR culture, one word, fourculture.com. There's 15 issues on that site, and there's a piece of mine in every one. A piece of me. You want a piece of me? I got a piece of me in every one.
I love them all.
They are good. They
cover to cover.
They are great, great magazines and a lot of stuff. Cutting edge stuff, you know, and it's only available on the web. So if you got a tablet or a tab, or a tablet or a tab. They're the same thing. A tab and a tablet is the same thing, isn't it? From a
tab? Like a soda tab?
No, a computer tab. Tablet? Tablets? Is that what they
you
call them?
What's yeah, a tablet.
Tablet, not a tab.
I've never heard them call a tab.
LSD with tabs. Remember, Tom? Okay.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So there's all that. And I think that's all I have to say right now about the catch-up stuff and everything. That's what's going on with that. I can rip this up because I rarely keep notes or anything. Here we are on Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Tolman. His name is John Title. The show, Jeremy Long, is with me. He's back from New York City, where, of course, he's making big deals with Neil Patrick Henry.
Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question for you. We're going to get into something here tonight.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we are. We're going to get into something here tonight, which more concerns you.
Yeah, I'm aware of the topic.
Although I was, I mean, we were on top of that on this show. We talked about this from the very beginning because it was a big issue. There were big issues in the beginning when, independence, suddenly we're able to do music and broadcast, and now it's just gotten more intense with videos and YouTube. And in fact, look at that, a commercial comes up there. Well, Tom, we'd rather see your face than see the Subaru commercial coming up on the Skype.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'd rather see the Subaru commercial.
Ooh. Yeah, he missed you. He really missed you. The internet and just digital technology in general, of course, has, you know, swept across every medium, mm-hmm. and has made many impotent. It is impotentized. There's no word impotentized, is there, Tom?
I don't think that's a real
word. No, impotentized is not. Impotent. We could coin it.
Impotented? Did it impotent? You can't use it. Can't use it as a verb.
How about impotent?
Use it as a verb.
Depotentized. No.
Impotenting.
Impotentially?
No, I don't know. I'll have to look that for a verb. Huh?
Impotized? No.
No.
Impotented.
You could say castrated.
Okay. Let's use that one.
That's a good one.
Because that's what we were just talking about, Neil Patrick Davis, anyway. So.
Why did you bring that up?
It doesn't really matter at all. Because, you know, all men are intrinsically gay.
Sure.
And we go through our gay periods. And that's not what we're talking about. Let's go back to
what
this.
What was your question for
me? I don't know. Oh, the question. I had no question for you. You're gonna be involved in this. You said you knew about the subject.
Yeah.
Tom, did you read that article that I sent you? That I know you did.
I didn't get an article.
Oh, the one about. I only read the beginning. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. I never read them at all.
What article?
I just look. We'll go through it and we'll give you an idea. That, like I do, we'll go through it and give you an idea. Sure, we'll read it and go through it and give everyone an idea, because there's a lot of creative people out there. And this was more fascinating to me, not because of product. That's what I was going to say. In the early days, it's amazing. I talk like it's like 30 years ago of this. One of the first guests we ever had on the show was Dr. Lawrence Lessig. If you look him up, write this down. Keep your drinks. Write it down and look it up later. Lessig. Dr. Lawrence Lessig, who has been, he's been around. You might have seen him on Chris Matthews or Rachel Matthews and Mad Al Matthews. Whatever. He's been on. He works at some, you know, he's a professor, what have you. But he brought up the copyright issue for people with music very early on. And, of course, that was a very big and controversial thing early on, because suddenly people weren't only able to download things that they had to buy. You remember that? We remember when what was that? The artists, the what is it? Who was the name of that? Recording Artists of America, RAICAICI, or what was that? Recording art. Anyway. They were going after people that were trying to put little girls in jail for downloading songs for copyright stuff and everything.
And
the whole issue of what is sharing and what is piracy came up very early. And we were behind, all of the people that were doing it, because we didn't see anything particularly wrong with it, because we said it's not piracy if you don't sell something. Mm-hmm. If you share it. And I brought up a million things. Tom will remember this too. When there weren't MP3 files and stuff, there were people had tape recorders. We shared tapes.
A-tracks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You remember A-tracks. Yeah, I know. People shared. In other words, you re-recorded things.
Yeah.
On reel-to-reel and stuff, and you gave it to your friend. You said, hey, here's the new album.
People still loan CDs.
But now that's what I'm talking about. But early on, the idea was just they could put these things onto MP3, and they were you'd give them to your friend. You go, hey, look, I got four, you know, I got four Beatles tracks here, and then you know, mm-hmm. and then the RIAA, that's it, the Recording Industry Association mm-hmm. of America.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
they said, well, we're going to come after you. We're going to get everybody who does this because you're infringing upon copyrights, and the artists and the creators and everybody who was involved in that. Suddenly, their living was threatened. Because without royalties and without the money that you get from buying things, you don't get money.
Right.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a big deal back then, okay? And it shut down any number of websites that were allowing people to do to share. Yeah.
Well, there was one in particular. I remember. It was a really big one.
Yes.
That was shut down. I can't think.
I forgot the name of it. But I know MP3.com got... thrown down, got
Demonoid got shut down.
There was one even earlier. There was one guy who just allowed everybody to come on.
LimeWire
was still. Did they shut down LimeWire?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because
I think that might have been it. Yeah. That I was thinking of. Yeah.
Well, there's one even. There was one earlier, a long time ago, and MP3.com started the whole controversy because they were letting all. They were putting all people who were doing their own music, independents, were coming on and everything. Okay,
nowadays, I don't know about back then, but nowadays, they're obviously, it's still happening. It might not be as big of an issue, but there's celebrities whose work gets torrented and shared and downloaded, quote-unquote, illegally, and they support that because they consider it sharing.
Well,
there's a lot of them.
Well, yeah, things have changed and radically changed. Because in the beginning, you got to remember the beginning of this whole system and network and media. Everyone was against it. All the analog world was against it. Mm-hmm. And so what they tried to do was come in, and they didn't know how to assimilate to. In fact, in the beginning, we did a number of shows. One of the shows we did, when nobody had done this, was we did a show on pornography, because the world of pornography, the business of the industry of pornography, were the first industry to embrace the internet.
Yeah, sure.
And they said, hey, this is another medium. We're not going to sit back like these people. And, oh, no, they're suffering now, too. But, I mean, we did a lot on that. And there were all sorts of but the music industry did not. And of course, the movie industry went nuts. But they didn't go nuts till later because you couldn't download that stuff. It just took forever. People were not going to, you know, even if you did figure out how to download a movie, it was bad enough. An MP3 took 20, 30 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So you laughing? Is laughing at that? All right.
Yeah,
it did. You don't remember that?
No,
you were still a little suckling at that time.
No.
Yeah, you were.
I was downloading music.
Well, everybody did it. We all did it. But we championed those. And Dr. Lessig tried to get in between, and he tried to come up with this electronic copyright thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when he found out that he was so hip to everything that was happening digitally, and he was like the I think we was the first or second person to actually be on this show from the outside world. He said he would do it. And we got in touch with him, and he said he would do it. You know why? Because he recognized even then. He said, "Well, people are going to be doing this. People are going to be broadcasting stuff."
Mm-hmm.
So that was like a big, that was a breakthrough. And he came on in between his while he was waiting for his. For the Chinese food to be delivered. Seriously.
How long ago was this?
Oh wow. Where are we going to go now? 15... We're going to go back to 2000. Well, no, it was Amcast. So it was, we're on here 10 years.
Right? Yeah, it's been 10 years.
So that's 2004 here. So before 2004, maybe 2000 or, you know, or it was when...
almost 15 years.
Yeah, almost 15 years. When... what came in? Well,
Dr. Lessig.
We weren't able to be on until cable, until high speed, right? You couldn't do this without high speed. And so we got high and we sped up. Okay, so that's a catcher. So Lessig came on and he's still trying to do something. He came up with electronic copyrights. All this kind of stuff. How do you collect them? And of course, that's the problem. ASCAP, the American Society of Composers, Artists, and Publishers, has just gone. Anybody who whistles a tune can now join ASCAP. Really? I mean, they'll take anybody. Yes, so much has changed. The whole landscape, the whole paradigm has shifted, and there's all sorts of different things going on. And that has led over the years now that it's kind of settled, and iTunes started to change things because people said, well, we could sell for 99 cents by, you know. And there were still people making copies and things. It's run rampant, let's face it. Anything that you could play on your computer, you can record.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there were iPods. Mm-hmm. And when the iPods came out and podcasts came out, and then people were programmed, or they'd go get their own music and everything. They programmed their own. Then the radio started to falter. Right? And radio, everything started to fall apart. Everything that we used to know and rely upon, and what used to give a living to people, because there were royalties and paychecks and things, all gone, shot. Everything's done. Over.
Yeah.
But now, something else happened. These days, now that they've made some arrangements with YouTube, with iTunes, with all these, they've made arrangements, and it's far less than it ever was in terms of any kind of royalties for artists and people. But they did a survey, and I thought this was fabulous, and that's why we're going to talk about it. And what's happened to the artists is that they're getting less. They can hardly make a living anymore doing the things that they used to make a living doing. And this goes for people who have collected like millions of dollars in royalties, because now they're not getting that either.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they put their money in banks or somewhere. I hope they didn't put it in. I hope they didn't put it in the the Liberia water system. Or what have you, or in those banks that were robbed by ISIS. Okay. But the point is that these people are not making livings anymore. They have to go out. If you go to a Starbucks, Tom, maybe out there in Hollywood, you go to a Starbucks somewhere in Hollywood and you say, you know, I want a large or grande latte or whatever they call them.
Yeah.
The guy turns around and he asks you if you want, what would they say? Do you want vanilla in that or something or whatever, right?
They ask you if you want that low fat, no fat.
So imagine if the guy turned around. More. The guy turned around to ask you that, and it was Neil Diamond.
that would be funny.
He's just researching for his next.
Of course, that's a radical example. Obviously, Neil Diamond. It wouldn't be. But, you know, this is what's caused a lot of these artists to rely on playing live now and doing shows, because records, what records? Nobody even says, I got a new record out. No, I got a D, although vinyl's coming back, but it's still the problem. Okay. So now that we've gone 30, now we've gone all this time, let's talk about what the issue is today, Y2K plus 14. They claim they're getting paid less. It's not enough. They're trying to cut new deals. But what do they have in order for the money to come in? They have to have people who buy the stuff. They have to have people who, right? The public.
Yeah, of course.
The public, and even people who are fans of any new or old or almost old, you know, groups and music or whatever, and no matter, these people, they did a survey, and they don't care. They've gotten used to, and I said this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You laugh, you don't even know what I'm thinking. Jeremy laughed, he has no idea what I just did, Tom. You do.
Because he just did it funny.
No, but you know what.
That was a reference to an old, was that Professor, what's his name?
We met him together. No, we met him together up at Sheridan Nelson.
Steve Allen.
Well, and that's a clue right there, the Steve Allen. Allen was his name. That was a date. Remember Dayton Allen? See, kids
oh, yes, down. Yeah.
Why yeah. not?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew.
Yeah, he got it. Yeah, I bet you even Neil Washington Henry doesn't know. Right? Does he even know him?
I could force him more than
no
he's
way.
No, because he warded down little pimple-faced kids. And you guys... without any history on your back. Okay.
You want to call him Tim Wagner?
The the public isn't caring anymore, and that's where do you still have the article, Tom?
I do. As a matter of fact, I have it right in front of me.
Why don't you start reading it? And let's give credit to who did it, and then we'll comment as we go along so that everybody knows this guy brought it up. What's this guy's name? Is it a blog? What was it, a blog?
Well, let's see. Music Industry Blog from October the 10th. But it doesn't say who wrote it, ironically.
Well,
so let's just jack it. And,
yeah, we're not going to give him any money anyway, so go ahead. Make it a...
It really doesn't say, so I don't know.
Okay.
Note to struggling bands and singers. Sorry, but most of your fans don't care.
I don't know why I get a jolt out of this, but go ahead. Go ahead.
The plight of artists and songwriters grappling with download dollars transforming into streaming cents is well documented and a series of long-term sustainable solutions are needed. I wrote about some here. And there's a link you can see. The debate occurs alongside an assumption that there is widespread concern for the creators and their livelihood. Unfortunately, the general sympathy that is apparent within the echo chamber of the online press and social media does not translate to the broader population. And there's a quote here from Media Research, MIDIA Research. Some singers and bands are concerned that streaming music services like YouTube, Spotify, which I never heard of, and Deezer pay too little money back to them compared to selling music. Using a scale of 1 to 5, where 1 equals don't agree at all and 5 equals agree entirely, indicate how much you agree with this statement. And the statement is, this issue concerns me enough to reconsider my music buying habits. So you can say 1, I don't agree at all, or 5, I agree entirely, and one scale 1 to 5. And the results were just 15% of responders said they agreed, and only 4% strongly agree.
Wow.
And this is against a backdrop of 60% of consumers stating that they consider music to be worth paying for. So willingness to pay is not the overriding issue here. Things don't look quite so bad when you start diving into specific segments. For example, among music aficionados, those who spend and listen above average, the rate is 30%, and among subscribers, it is 34%. But even those rates are remarkably low when you consider that these are some of the very most engaged music fans, and that more than 80% of them think music is worth paying for. So what's going on? Artists and fans are closer than ever before, and artists are undoubtedly finding the transition to consumption models a difficult process.
Okay, hold on right there.
Okay, yeah.
This really has to do with the fact that since this became an issue in the days I was talking about, another generation has gotten into all this, and a lot of them younger, and they are used to what they're used to. These people, these kids, I'm calling kids, even the millenniums are in their 20s now, aren't they? You're a millennium?
Am I?
Yeah, are you?
I think.
Yeah. These kids... These people, this generation, this England, this blessed land, they don't have a comparison. So if you tell them, if you ask them, is music worth paying for, even if they say yes, they're used to getting it for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like us. That we sat around and went, oh yeah, I gotta get that album. I gotta go buy that thing at a record store. There are no more record stores. There are no more record stores anymore. You know.
I remember buying music before downloads were available. I would buy
CDs or even cassettes at that time.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yes.
I still have cassettes and CDs.
But you don't have any idea. You don't have a comparison to what it was like when that was all you could do. You couldn't listen, unless you had a stereo, or, you know, you couldn't play the record. You couldn't bring it around with you like you bring a phone around. Imagine having a Victrola or a battery powered. They didn't even have that. You know, they had boom boxes eventually, and people hated that stuff. You put the cassette in.
It reminded me of a very funny incident. You remember Ed Roach, Frank?
Yes, I do. Indeed.
Well, Frank, he was a trailblazer in a way. He bought this portable record player with an arm and a needle and everything. And he would walk around playing it, and he
so it had batteries. Wait, it had batteries.
Yes, it did. Okay. It had batteries.
Yeah,
it had batteries, and these big ass flashlight batteries, you know. And he'd play it, and on a windy day in Brooklyn, he's playing something, and we're walking there, and the wind just took the whole record off the turntable.
I mean, you could, even if you had the portable one, right? When you moved, because it was a needle on a record, right? I mean,
Yeah. Somebody
you jumped, it would jump, or you scratch it. It was. It's not like you could do anything to a digital.
Yeah,
it's not going to skip. There's no skips on MP3s. They don't skip. They clip, but that's only if they're recorded. Okay, that's technical. That doesn't matter. But yeah, you're right. See, these kids now, kids like in the, I guess, well, maybe you're not a millennial, because Ray, my son Ray's 15, so he would be 15. I mean, he doesn't have a clue. A clue of what it was like when we had to go out and buy records. In fact, we were at BAM last week.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. And I said, I was telling Jack, my other son, I said, hey, look, Jack. I said, look, see, they're selling vinyls again. Because they are. It's kind of hip.
Yeah. It's coming back. Yeah.
It's coming back because there's something about analog you have in the house. And, of course, it sounds different. We know that. We always knew that. But what? Well, you know, we're practically historians compared to you, pal.
I know.
And when you come out with a CD, it's not like in the old days when a CD came out in, by a company that did that. Because you can come out with a CD. I can come out. Tom can come out. We can come out with CDs. But we're not going to get a call from Jimmy Fallon and Conan Brunt to come on and promote it. We're not going to, you know, we're going to have to put it on our internet site.
It depends on how many hits it gets.
Well, again, you know, and in the beginning, people thought, oh, wow, I'm going to get to everybody now because everybody has the internet. Mm-hmm. So if I make my own product, I'm going to sell, and it's great, because they all thought it was great, that it'll sell a billion things, billions and billions, you know, and it didn't. Of course it didn't. Just because you had a store, just because you opened a store and the whole world was available to go to the store, it doesn't mean people were lining up to go to the store.
To the store.
Yeah, like, why? What does that mean? Billions of people can see your website, they used to say.
I'm automatically interested in your product because I have internet connection.
People were actually surprised in the beginning when they opened up these. I've often talked about this guy who. This is great. Let me tell you this. When people were doing that because they had music or they came out with their own CDs. There were comedy. There were guys who did comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, you know, these were not backed by big labels, so you weren't, first of all, you weren't going to get any. They were easy to manufacture, of course. That's the other thing. But you weren't going to get any royalties. You were just going to get whatever you got for charging it, right? And who was going to buy, $5, $6, who was going to buy $5, $6? Who's going to buy someone they don't even know or they haven't heard, okay? So.
That's why he's telling them at your shows. After your shows.
And all those, what?
That's why you sell them after your shows.
Yes, that's why people sell them right. Even sell them now at their shows. You didn't have to do that. You would mention records if you played in places and say, we have a record, go to the record store. But now you got to sell them when you play live. That's another reason to play live. But there was a guy, this was the most popular website when all this was happening. And this is very early on in then all the independents are coming out going, we're going to be, this is it. You know, I don't need a record company. I don't need it. I got my own website, my own thing. Meanwhile, everyone was going, and I don't know what happened to this guy. Maybe you could look him up again on your internet, Yahoo or Google. Some guy created this website, and it was the most incredible website. And I was really honored to get a page on this website. Okay. I didn't get one. I didn't do anything. It was called, okay, insert your name. Okay. Insert the name give me a name of a personality, a very popular personality. Wow! All the people in the world.
Robert Duvall.
Okay, that's a perfect one, right? He had pages, and this was one of the more popular. This guy got hits up the kazoo until finally he just got tired of doing it. Robert Duvall ate my balls.
Oh yeah.
And
I've heard yours
because I've talked about you've heard mine, right? They have, and they would take any personality, and they would tell you a little bit about they would rip off their bio and make a page, and the page would be called based on in search of Robert Duvall ate my balls, and they would and they would show these pictures of Robert Duvall, and the captions were things like Robert Duvall became very popular in The Godfather, where he ate Marlon Brando's balls. And people were going nuts because they're like, boy, it was funny. You're laughing. I mean, it's funny. They had everything. And they just hit everyone. Jerry Lewis ate my balls. And no matter what you said, you couldn't stop laughing, right? It was Jacques Cousteau ate my balls, And it was somewhere down the line, somebody put up Frank Cotullo ate my balls. So I had a...
Jacques Cousteau was very likely because he went down a lot.
Ooh.
Clever.
Clever girl. Clever.
Classic.
It was classic. So here's the thing. People who had the internet weren't, even then, there weren't enough people that were interested in new material. The people who were interested in new material were people who were creating new material. So the audience... were the people who were creating the material, were the artists.
Yeah, yeah.
The general public. Yeah, the general public. What they did was like they told each other about the Ate My Balls site. And they went like, hey, they just put up Johnny Carson Ate My Balls. You got to see it. And they showed Johnny Carson in his first appearance in New York on The Tonight Show, the first time he ate balls. They would say that.
I get a phone call at 9 p.m. on my landline. Yeah. You won't believe it. They put up Johnny Carson.
Right, that's right. People would call on the landline. They didn't have phones. They didn't have mobile phones.
Oh, my God. Johnny Carson's up on the Ate My Balls website.
And then people would write, they'd email the guy. Could you do, could you do Robert Redford Ate My Balls? I'm on a Robert Redford Ate My Balls site. I would give anything.
I noticed.
Julia Roberts Ate My Balls. I swear that's what was going on. So there was a problem with the independents were going to be knocked off. Now when the other guy, the people who did come in, and the record companies and people who are now making music and CDs or what have you, they of course had a problem because even though people knew these artists, it was like, how are we going to sell it? They didn't know anything about the internet. So they used analog marketing, and it didn't work.
Mm.
And then YouTube came along, and it said, oh, you want to get that new, see, Tom, you want to get that new Beach Boy album? Because someone just put up five tracks. And so you'd go there, you copy it, you put it there. What do you care what order it's in? What do you care about the cover art? You get the music.
I always liked the cover art, actually, personally.
Yeah, people do. Yeah, but it's like all. So then the artist.
I would buy it just for the cover art.
And you know as well as I do that because the recording became so easy and proficient in your own house. And Tom, you remember we used to go to recording studios. It was those places made money, and then you'd pay a lot an hour to do professionally. You could do it better in your home now with all the digital stuff as time was going on. But for someone actually for free, now that's the other thing about programs too, because they used to share programs. So even the people who created the very technology were having problems. Someone once sent me like a 64-track studio. It took like an hour for it to come, but they said, "Here, I got this thing," and they sent it over. And so people were sharing this stuff.
64 tracks.
Yeah, 64 tracks.
On your computer?
On a computer. Crazy. And then, who knows what the CPU was in those days. I mean, in those days, you know, if you had a gig, you were like, wow, one gig? Yeah. You got a gig on that thing, you know? So anyway, that's more background. Now, we'll pick up where you left. There's more of the article, Tom? So we'll go back.
Yes, there is. Go. Let's see where did I leave off. So what's going on here? Artists and fans are closer than ever. I think I read that for mainstream consumers. Yeah. To some degree, there has always been some fan ambivalence. Mainstream consumers tend to think of artists as megastars who drive around in sports cars and sip champagne for breakfast. So getting the mass market to feel sympathy is not an easy sell. Even though the music world has changed from its 80s and 90s excess, many consumers just haven't paid enough attention to the plight of artists to join the dots. Okay, I mean, I guess he means connect the dots, but I guess you could say join the dots. Others conveniently turn a blind eye and use their old world stereotypes to justify piracy to themselves. Artists and fans have an unprecedented array of tools and services to connect them and to help build genuine engagement. But outside of their core followings, artists should not expect their wider fan bases to have any particularly strong feelings about their struggles. Even less should they expect those fans to do anything about it. 54% of consumers specifically would not change their buying behavior. Streaming is ramping up fast. That much is clear. But even among those consumers, just 24% care enough about the plight of artists to consider changing their behavior.
And now when we have a short clip now, a news clip of the artists who are being affected by this. We have that right now. Well, that's not what I thought it would be. Let's get a better one here.
I'm glad you did that, Frank. I thought I was the only one.
No, that was
problems.
That was. Let's get.
That
let's
like
just
the
do.
Of hell.
Let's just do one. Here's one. One artist. I think this might be. And I'm going to see if we can identify this artist.
I'm pretty sure it's Bono.
You think it's Bono?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. This is Bono's reaction to.
Let me tell.
Oh, for the love of God.
They even put a commercial on that. We gotta click that ad. So you can skip it in 4, 3, 2, 1. Here's Bono's reaction to the stuff that we're talking about now. Here's Bono.
It's like
poor Bono.
Bono's like, oh no, I gotta sell my tinted shades.
Bono, won't
shut up, Bono.
Okay, it goes.
I
dislike that fellow. You know, what's amazing, Tom, is that I always mispronounce his name because I always think of Sonny Bono.
Bono, yeah.
And I never say Bono. It's Bono, not Bono, right? Mm-hmm. There was a hoax. You know the hoax stuff that goes on the internet.
Yeah.
There was the other day. There was this hoax that Bono had Ebola, and they showed, and someone had a picture of him in a hospital bed. It said Bono has Ebola. He went down to help someone. You know, because, you know, he's always giving millions of dollars and stuff like that. So I wrote in there, I said, he doesn't have Ebola. He has Egola. It's his problem.
That's a good name for a band, though.
What?
Bono has Ebola.
That's the whole band would be called. Bono has Ebola.
Yeah.
They had auditions for lead singers. Here's the lead singer. Why is that so funny? I don't know. It's just... Okay, where were we before?
Well, this article, I think, is pretty accurate. It, as the internet was coming up, and I was losing track because I'm from some generation that can't keep up with technology. But my stepson, who was very into technology, he knew all the ins and outs and everything, you know. And he would, you know, Cheryl and I would say, "Hey, we heard about that show. What was that show? Breaking Bad or something like that. Oh, you know, whatever. We heard about that, but we never saw it, you know." And he'd show up with DVDs of every show, you know.
Right.
And we said, "How did you get this? It must, you know, it must cost you a fortune." He said, "No, I just get it for free." I said, "What do you mean you get it for free?"
They don't think twice, eh? They don't think twice.
No, I just go online and get it. And we would say that this is, now we're talking about 12 years ago. We'd say, you know, you're going to get, they're arresting people.
Right.
You better watch it, really. You better watch out.
My mom used to say that.
But you know, his rationale, I said, because we went to the point of saying, look, besides the fact that you might get in trouble, it's wrong. These people are, you know, they write this stuff, they create the stuff. We said, "You're an artist, Alexei. You're an artist. Don't you care about that?" He said, "These people make millions. They make billions. They make it. You know, it's not going to harm. It's not going to hurt them at all." That was his take on it. I think that's kind of the general take on it from the younger folk. What do you think, Jeremy? Is that accurate or what?
I personally would disagree, but I think that is pretty accurate for the general consensus.
Wait, how could you disagree and then say it's accurate?
I would say it's accurate.
What do you mean?
I'm saying it's what Tom said is accurate for the general public, especially people my age and younger. I'm just saying I personally disagree.
Oh.
I'm happy to hear you disagree. But, yeah, I think so. Don't you think, Frank?
Yeah, I'll tell you. Sorry, I'm just going to wipe up Jeremy's mess here. Got this iced tea all over my Post-its.
All right.
Here, I'll give you a little something you can put on.
We're interrupting the show.
Coaster here. Well, you know, we got to, you know.
Improvise.
Yeah, because, you know, this is, because Jeremy this comes to be Frank's on the show. Reaction. Sometimes this is Jeremy. Getting ready to be on the show. Okay. What do I think? I know I'm so mixed on this whole thing because, not because people, you know, aren't getting paid. Certainly for a very, very long time, they used to say that, you know, the record companies make all the money anyway. And you know, the people who don't, you know, royalties don't, you know, unless you got to sell billions or millions or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm certainly for artists getting paid and doing that for a living. But the belligerence in the beginning, what's the word? What's the word they're always talking about where people feel it's big in politics now? People, I deserve it. I deserve getting that. What's that word they use? How can I forget this? I'm here and I speak English on this show. By the way,
karma?
No, not karma. At 1962, karma. This is you're listening. We're right at the top of the second hour here, the Cthulhu Chronicles. Tom Savino's with me, and we're going to talk to Tom too. We're going to get back to this other stuff because Tom. Speaking of which, you know, we're doing this show, and Tom is doing. We're all doing shows for perks and stuff. We don't get paid for this. Everybody out there knows that. That we've been here doing this for the love of whatever it is. I don't know, was art or science or crap. I don't know. But I almost had it too. How can I forget this word?
What's the word?
Well, it's, you know, when they say, they always complain, oh, people think they should get that. It's
entitled?
Yes, it's entitlement.
Entitled. Yeah.
The fact that in the beginning, the belligerence of the artists as well as the record companies was so toxic that you just wanted to say, I mean, you could not take their side. Because all they wanted to do was, I mean, they had nothing else except money. They never said, hey, you know, if I don't get my royalties, my family doesn't eat. They never appealed to it. They said, these people are just stealing and robbing, and they weren't. They weren't. And the RIAA went after kids. They went after this one little girl. They told the family, they said, we think she owes $30,000, this 14-year-old girl, because she downloaded these songs,
yeah,
right?
I remember that, yeah.
And what are they going to do? They're going to take her and put her into prison, and she's going to, because, you know, she goes to court, and they said, right, she's a copyright infringement. It's 20 years. You get 20 years, and now this 14-year-old girl is going to go, and there's going to be this huge guy who, like, murdered a family. And she's going to have
What are you in for?
Just hanging out with him, right? Jackson 5.
What are you in for?
Yeah. Manslaughter.
Yeah, man, and a lot of men, too. Manslaughter.
Manslaughter.
Family slaughter.
You downloaded a song? You downloaded 5 songs, I killed 15 people.
I'm a dirty downloader.
And the thing is that, and that's what I mean. Here's why it was so belligerent. This is why dirty downloader, you dirty downloader.
She'd be right in there next to the loiterers in jail.
Yeah, because here's what I was screaming about in the beginning. I said, you know, first of all, you're getting all this, you're giving away a couple of things for free. If you learned how to give them away for free and then figured out how people would like it and they would buy it. But here's the deal. Why did they come? They came at people like Nazis, and they weren't even going after the people who were the pirates. They called that piracy. That is not piracy. And I said, in the old days, we would get, if I bought an album and I had a tape recorder or whatever, I could tape that album and give it to my friend, and he wouldn't buy it, right? I didn't. But if I there's tons of. In fact, we did a show during that time. Okay, well, we went to eBay, and on eBay, there were literally hundreds of bootleg albums for sale.
Really?
Yeah. Nobody's paying for those. I mean, like, you know, they had makeup covers and stuff, and they would, and you could buy them from people. That, if people are making money, it's piracy. If I'm sharing something with you, and that's where it really got nasty, and that's where I went against the artists and the companies, because this was sharing, and we always shared, and there's got to be a way. You can't make sharing illegal. I mean, that's nonsense.
I would agree.
Look at me. I'm back on my soapbox again, like it's 15 years ago. I went nuts on this stuff.
Remember those old commercials they would have, too? Like, when it was a big deal, they would show people, like, robbing banks and stealing cars.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, you wouldn't steal a car, would
right.
you?
You wouldn't steal a car.
Then why would you download a thing?
Then why are you...
Like,
why,
that's the same thing.
Why are you screwing Bono out of his 3 cents? You little whippersnapper.
You might as well be robbing a bank.
Dirty, disgusting pigs. And now, a generation's not caring what they get one way or another. It's a weird form of poetic justice, in a sense. You know, they should have came at it. They should have came at it with the, but they didn't embrace the medium. They didn't embrace the internet. They just went after people. And you know that lady, the lady who was the head of the RIAA, you'll know her name, Tom, because you follow politics and everything. For a long time, she was the head of the Democratic Committee. She was on all these shows. Rosalind. Give me some names of ladies who were the heads of, I know, I have.
Debbie Schultz?
No.
Good old Debbie.
Before her. She was the head of the RIAA. She was the president of the RIAA at one time.
Not Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi?
No. See, and I'm going to have to look it up. I have an internet. I can go to a new tab and go to Google. Because I was really... And I tried to get her on the show, and she said, on an internet? Who listens to that? It's like, yeah, how about the people you say are robbing and stealing all your stuff? That's who. Here, I'll get her name. RIAA. I mean, they would just talk. So, in that respect, I was for past presidents, I guess. Yeah, okay, let's see. Past president. I'll get her. You'll know her immediately.
Mitch Glazer.
What?
Mitch Glazer?
No, it wasn't Mitch Glazer. Where do you see that?
I was at the top.
Oh, yeah, that's wrong. Okay, this you got to go back to, wow, I guess this is a while ago then already. I want to say Sue's radio stations for giving away RIAA Sue's radio station for giving
Hillary
away
Rosen?
Music. Yes, Hillary Rosen. That's her.
Hillary Rosen.
Yes, she was. She went on to be the head of some. Let's see her now. H-I-L-L-R-I-J. Hillary Rosen.
Hillary Duff.
Hillary Rosen. Oh, she's got a Twitter. There. Hillary Rosen is an American communications consultant, Democratic pundit, and former registered lobbyist. Born in 1958 in Orange, New Jersey. She was in the movie Rice Girl. I never saw her. Rice Girl? Click on what? Her?
Yeah.
What? Images? No. What?
Rice Girl. I want to buy that.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, sounds like a great flick.
Rice Girl is a movie. And why buy it? You can get it for nothing if you don't. Rice Girl is a 2003 movie. Director Michael Fisher. Screenplay by Cheryl Ling.
Hey, it got 6 out of 10 stars.
Rice Girl. I figured there would be an Oriental in there somewhere. There's the movie trailer. Rice Girl.
It's an adventure
Pat
comedy.
Pat Morita, isn't it? And Ian Lithgow. I wonder if he's related to John.
Yeah, that's his.
By the way, John Lithgow ate my balls. You know, I wonder. Let's see if we looked at YouTube.
Just go to. You can probably just find it on Google.
Let's just put ate my balls in. Here, ate my balls. Mr. T ate my balls. Look. It says right here. Look. This is on YouTube. Mr. T ate my balls. Episode number one. Now, look at this. They made a. Here's ate my. A look at the intro for my hack of Willow titled Mr. T ate my balls.
What's the whole thing now?
What's this? Mr. T. What does this say? Mr. T ate my balls. It's a. It's a YouTube page. There's a YouTube page called Mr. T Ate My Balls.
Just search
it's
Ate My Balls
there.
Without the Mr. T.
Okay. Let's just search Ate My Balls and see.
Yeah, and as you see, there's a still of him saying, damn, the balls are good.
Probably. Lady Gaga ate my balls. It's a song. Let's hear this for a second.
I pity the fool who ate my balls.
And not pay for it.
Hey, Lady Gaga. I'm Greg, your new dancer.
What the hell?
Here we go. Why are you putting salt and pepper on my pee-pee? Oh, you know, I'm just weird, cool, and, bashful. Oh, well, how old her? But I was just reading most of the things that I want to do. Lady Gaga, Amy, balls are crazy, lady, I'm a sucker, Amy, like a motherfucker. Someone come and call a doctor. Lady Gaga, why'd you gobble both my balls? Leave me to bubble in my drawers with no two marbles, just a bored out sack of rubble.
Okay, now that would go on for 4 minutes, but think about this for a second.
No, thank
we just
you.
Played this. Somebody produced this in their own home.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Tom, you know, I mean, if we wanted to do something like that, like in 1976 or 7, what would that cost?
Oh, my God. It would be a small fortune, yeah.
And they're putting it on here. They're not asking
Pac-Man
for...
Pac-Man ate my balls.
Where?
Up
who?
Top there.
Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, Pac-Man.
Okay. Let's see if there's any more here. Zombie ate my balls.
Man, zombies.
Oh, here, wait. I am the walrus. Yoko Ono ate my balls. Let's see what this is all about. What is this all about? See, is this a... Oh, God, that's horrible. Why don't you just go say,
open up Google. Open up a thing on Google.
Google?
And then type in Ate My Balls there. You might be able to find something close to the original website.
Well, we're getting hung up on this one. I want to know that guy's name.
The Ate My Balls guy?
The Ate
you
My Balls guy.
Just search Google on Google.
Did you ever search? You know what you do? You know what's fun? Go to Yahoo and search for Google. Go to Google, search for Yahoo. You go back and forth all over the places. It's really stupid. Here's Google. And we want to go. We want to put in Ate My Balls. Ate My Balls. I put, Ate My Balls web ring. Here's the web ring. Ate My Balls web ring. Okay,
what
friends.
What does that mean?
Here's the Ate My Balls at salon.com.
The top one. Go to the top one.
Ate My Balls, know you're a meme.
No. That's a meme.
What?
Meme.
Meme?
Meme.
Okay, let's hear. Here, Ate My Balls is a series of images with captions and their related websites describing a character's love of balls. Being one of the oldest internet what is it?
Meme. Even Tom knows.
I never saw that as a word or memes. Pictures were mostly low quality because of technical restrictions at the time. MS Paint, 56K modems. I told you, this is like way back.
Damn, balls is good.
A meme is a cultural item in the form of an image, a video, a phrase, etc.
Very good.
That is spread by way of the internet and often altered in a creative or humorous way.
Thanks for that, Tom.
Yeah, there's nothing.
You're very welcome.
There's nothing I can't. I can still learn things. His name is Nehal Patel, a University of Illinois student. Created the first Mr. T Ate My Balls in 1996. That was the first one. Okay.
Okay.
Here are examples. Chewbacca ate my balls. Who's that? Burke Halter ate my balls. Linus ate my balls. How about this one? Bill Gates bought my balls.
He would. He would.
It was a spinoff. Kenny ate my balls. Ate my balls mega page. And look at all these. Oh, here's more. Mitchell ate my balls.
Go to that ate my balls mega page.
The ate my balls mega page.
Click on that.
See, this is, and so now think about it. This incredible. Oh, it's not there, huh?
No,
they don't have it.
Yeah.
This absolutely incredible machine we know as the internet, which stems from age-old digital mathematics and is now working for us in so many different ways. CAT scans, cars, everything is, you know. And here was a guy who found a way to use this. Ate my balls. Let's go to this one here. Uploaded by Chris Menning, Mitchell and Mr. T was the first one. Some guy writes down here a comment. I remember the Spock Ate My Balls website.
Look at this guy. A classic.
Smitty
probably wrote that.
Also weird. I hope that someday this meme, is that how you say it?
Meme.
This meme will return. Meme. This guy wants it back. He's, oh my God, he yearns for the days of Ate My Balls. Is this incredible? Comments, 7 total. A classic weird. Okay, there you go. 6 more. Let's do a couple more here.
You know who did the very first meme?
Meme timeline is a timeline here. Okay, that guy's got a timeline. Shadow scene ate my balls. This is, okay, the very first meme. Okay, I remember. Okay, Spock. Okay, so there you go. There's, as you can see, what?
Click on that one.
Custom made?
Yeah.
Make your own. Okay, now, if anybody wants to go to, it's a custom Ate My Balls site. Do you do it? The Ate My Balls web ring is here. You could still do this. You could type in, it says, anything is allowed on this page, any picture. You put in a picture, a URL of the picture, okay? And then you put comments that go with the picture. You put the email, and it says, if you have an email, it says your email. What do they do? If you don't know how to get a picture, blah, blah. And then copyright 1997. Listen, it's funny. Isn't that hilarious? It says copyright 1997. That's all we're talking about. The guy puts a C on it. Imagine going, Your Honor, I'm the creator of Ate My Balls, and I demand...
recognition.
He stole the Ate My Balls. Anyway, here, make your own.
Wait,
my
go brain. Here and see what other people
have. Go here.
That would be really funny if you had been really in a courtroom.
Right?
And they had to keep referring to the Ate My Balls.
they'd have
proper lawyers and things. And
they'd have to say it over and over again.
Diesel. Sanford Wallace eats my balls daily of a million of people. His company, Cyber Promo Spams. I don't know. This is stuff.
Wait, there's some.
What? Here's one. How about this? Laurel and Hardy ate my balls. One each, I guess. And there's a picture of Laurel and Hardy, a classic old black and white picture of them holding up their derbies. Here's the caption. Jeremy, read the caption.
Yummy! We want to eat your balls, Devin.
Here's Muhammad Ali. Is this Muhammad Ali?
And after I kick your ass, I'm going to eat them balls.
And it's two boxers. I guess that's yeah. And the Sex Pistols.
I could just see a competitor who came out with he or fill in the blank eats my balls, and they could sue each other. Wait, I came out with eight my balls. Eight my balls is my, that's my.
That's right.
Your Honor, mine is eight my balls. Definitely different.
And the,
he's doing it in the
and the judge, right, and the, you're right, and the judge goes, with the difference in tense. If you ate balls, you have eaten balls. We go for. So the jury, the decision
owns the
goes.
The exclusive rights to past, present, and future of eating balls.
Anyway, here Autobots, Transformers ate my balls. Anyway, so freedom, you get the idea of the ate my balls thing going on here.
We're gonna check that out later.
Yeah. See. And you could start a new one or do one or what have you. This is Cthulhu Chronicles, and we're Tom Savino's over there in an undisclosed location in the great state of California, the Golden State, which is out there in the west. Jeremy's here while he's still living in the east and on his way out one of these years. When are you going? Is it up to –
January.
Now it's January. It keeps
it's
going
been
back
January.
A month. No, it wasn't. It was October,
yeah.
November, December.
It was never
now
December.
It was never December.
It was. It moved. It was originally October. It did move to November, and then we pushed it back second time to it's, January.
And here
you're gonna stay for the holidays over there.
Yeah, right? That's why we pushed it back because we're like we got.
Yeah, we won't miss the holidays.
With the holidays.
I mean, that's the whole thing. It's the holidays. We miss the holidays. There's another excuse. No, remember how the holidays. You know what's amazing about the holidays? Some, and remember this, Tom. Tom remembers this too. People used to use that as an excuse. Not just, they wouldn't say, before they said, I can't wait, here's the holidays, we love the holidays, families get together, it's a great time for the holidays. All they would say is, well, you know, I'm going to do that after the holidays. It's like you can't do anything during the holidays because it's the holidays. It's just a big excuse, the holidays.
No, well, we decided we need to have one last holidays with our families.
Is there any more to that article, or can we talk? What should we talk
about?
No, that's it.
Well, there's a couple of sentences, but...
they have no pertinence to anything.
Not
so,
really.
So what does what does an artist do? You're going to fall by the wayside. But well, here's what an artist is going to do. I think that see if you agree with me. What's your opinion on this, guys?
Yeah.
Participate in the show if you want to be here. And then someone's going, well, if you shut up, Frank, they'll talk.
That's Smitty.
The idea is this: people don't know. If you're not aware. That of this, then you know, making money. You will. I mean, artists have to do art, period, whether they make a living at it or not. And people, of course, always go to the, now. Everybody goes to the internet, but nobody's making the kind of money when it was run by corporados and people who ran the industry. So what now, Jeremy? You're the most affected here. What do you see? How do you see any of this having anything to do with your career? He doesn't. Okay, we'll move on. See, you haven't even thought about it.
Because I mean, I feel like the times are moving with this advancement, like with people releasing, even professionals releasing stuff for free online. Because they're aware of this going on, and then there's the whole Kickstarter websites now and stuff like that where they get people to help fund.
Yeah, Kickstarter. Mm-hmm.
So stuff's advanced. The way with all this, you know, technology increasing like this, you know, people are...
The thing about Kickstarter that fascinates me, and I know people who've done some really great stuff, getting the money from everyone else. Well, they did it. So they got the money. Because the project cost X amount, they do it, and they release the project, and that's the end of it. Seven copies are sold, and it took all the people who supported them, and nothing happened. It's not, I mean,
You get stuff from helping out. Like, have you ever done it?
You get stuff, right? They put your name in the back. Here's someone who paid. here's a product that a limited amount of people are going to see, but by golly, it's got your name on it. So... He helped fund this absolute failure of a video movie that we made and put it on YouTube.
Well, you know, there was Zach Braff, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
And he has a pretty decent film that was funded by Kickstarter. And the credits at the end, the very end of the credits, is like a list of some of the bigger contributors.
My name is on that list.
Really?
Yes.
You see? Okay. There you go.
There you go.
But
it was a good movie.
I contributed to some Kickstarter thing, and they gave me a copy of the DVD. You know.
Yeah. They. It's more than just your name on it, Frank.
Oh yeah, they give you a free one.
No, they give you other stuff.
You're a member of an exclusive club that has
this. They send you a copy of the script, and they'll send you.
Oh, really?
The soundtrack. And
well, what have I been doing with my money? I should be giving all these. I could have scripts and kings and copies.
They send you props from the movie, and you get if you're local, you can come to the set of the movie and beyond.
Well, I have started a campaign myself. For a, it's a pharmaceutical thing for erection dysfunction, and it's called Dick Starter.
Here we're going to do this. Let's talk for a second because on this Monday past, Tom Savino's new show, which is going to be on one of these years, coming up, Veritas. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Wow. I don't know why I say it right.
It's
sounds
a take on
wrong.
In vino veritas, which means in wine truth.
Right. Wine. W-H-I-N. He's whining. And we thank everyone for listening. On Monday, he did a 1 hour pilot show. That was great. We had a lot of good comments about it.
It was superb.
When that show, when Tom decides to do the show after he takes this long needed vacation, for God's sake, Tom needs a little rest, time off here. Then so he'll be, I guess close to 215 we'll be starting this. I'm looking for something that, I'll find it. Tom, talk, just tell him a little bit about, and then that show will be following this show. So, oh,
yes,
what a triptych, because you get to Carlene. Carlene talks about relationships right before, the green room. And that madman comes on with the green room and all those and the random music.
Ooh, Johnny?
Johnny, Restless Johnny Wakeless and the random music generator comes on, and then me, and then there you got the Savino Veritas thing. And I want to
Yeah, Savino Veritas, In Wine, the Truth, W-H-I-N-E. And
tell them about it there for a second.
Well, it's going to be it's kind of eclectic, but there will be some, I know for sure there'll be political satire. There will be some, I want to have guests, and we'll have, I know musical guests will be on with their original music that you could steal.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, but you know, so, it's, still, you know, still developing the idea, but I think satire is definitely going to be part of it for sure.
Let me find this thing I want to... What is this? Okay. All right. Savino Veritas, I'm going to give you a little piece of something because it is not all...
Oh, you have a clip?
Yeah, it's not all entirely here. I'm going to play this.
You have a clip?
Yeah, I'm going to play this little thing
it
here.
It feels like...
Yeah. Let's listen to this here. This is from...
No,
the,
no. Have
what?
Tom set up the clip. I feel like we're on the Tonight Show.
You got to do like...
What's this clip? What's this clip about?
He doesn't know what I'm going to play.
I don't even know what he's going to play.
I'm going to play this. But just to show you that Tom talks about, I mean, there's a lot of issues and everything, and sometimes he takes a humorous approach to it. And as last week I said, here's the difference between the Savino style and the Cotolo style. Tom's show is put together, it's like a tennis match. It has borders, it has rules, because Tom's a very prepared person. He puts together a great show and constructs things and everything like that. My show is like racquetball, you know, hit it anywhere and just try to hit it back. It's madness. But so it's a great, it's one of the reasons we're a good team, because we had this, you know, we had different, what would you know about teams? You wouldn't know anything about teams, would you, Jeremy?
I was on teams. I'm part of teams.
Yeah. No, but anyway, because we had these different, a complimenting style.
Yes, absolutely.
Now here's Tom and something that was on the pilot show, and you may hear it again some other time, but it's contemporary. Let's play this here.
Are you tired of people dying around you at your favorite Italian restaurant? Well, worry no more. And forget about it, restaurant. Forget about it.
Cade, a gang of forget-about-it, has found the ultimate silencer and non-bloody assassinations. Hey, you never have to worry about it. Loud sounds, gunfire, people falling over you, bloody people on top of you. Because of the boys that forget about it have discovered a new way, a silent way of killing. For their assassination victims, they serve them Ebola spaghetti or Ebola spaghetti and meatballs. And the victims, they die silently in the bathroom. You got somebody you want out of your hair? Hey, forget about it. Get him a gift certificate and forget about it. But make sure you specify they try Ebola spaghetti or Ebola spaghetti and meatball or Ebola macaroni. Ebola spaghetti. No gluten free.
You know, I don't ever remember. I mean, such a distinct Italian accent.
Hey, forget about it.
Yeah, he does it. Hey. Dennis Darkin. No, Donnie Brasco. See how I remember things? I come out with the syllable. Words. I know the syllables. I don't know the name. Dennis Darkin. Oh yeah, Donnie Brasco. Right. When they ask him, what does that mean? Forget about it. And he says, well, you know, he says, like a girl, you think a girl's very pretty, you go, forget about it. You know, this. But at the end of the explanation, he goes, and then sometimes forget about it just means forget about it. It's true. So for those of you who don't, made that pretty popular. But
well, you know, Frank, from you and I coming in from Bensonhurst, that it was not that unusual to pick up the paper and see this. Someone was assassinated at Umberto's Clam Bar or something.
That was Joe Gallo.
Yeah, that's right.
Who was at, I saw Joe Gallo the week before that happened at the Queen's Terrace.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. And because, you know, I was a musician for a company that really laundered money, I guess. they hired musicians and put them, and they played weddings. And I was at the, I had to take my amplifier, and I had to carry it up these stairs at the Queen's Terrace, which was this really swanky place in Queens. And I had to play up, and they said, you're upstairs. And one of the guys who owned the Queen's Terrace, who was also connected, because that was a big legitimate business for them. You know, they had to have legitimate businesses in order to loaned their money. And the guy was talking, and somebody said to me, they said, oh, don't talk to, you know, Vito, whatever his name is. He's talking to Joe Gallo's there. I went, really? You know? And then the next week, he went to Umberto's, and he was shot.
Yeah.
He was thinking, he was trying, and so he was actually doing, he was doing the kind of business that got him shot, right in front, while I'm carrying my amplifier.
Yeah.
That story's in the documentary, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did I chuck that? Really?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
I've only heard the first DVD so far. I have some time coming up, though. I will listen to this, watch the second and third DVD.
Tom has to stay on after the show's over because him and I need to talk.
Okay. You're also going to find a. Aren't you editing? Aren't you making? You're not going to offer the director's cut anymore.
Yes.
Because
whoever has the DVD currently.
The people who've been watching the director's cut start off with dark hair and end up with gray hair.
Only will it be shortened to a normal length film and redistributed on DVD, non-director's cut version, but it's also getting a local premiere here.
I don't know. Do I have to show up and sign? Do I have to sign Neil Patrick Harris's name on a book?
You have to show up. We have to give an introduction.
Okay.
We have to talk about it.
We'll do that.
There's going to be a red carpet. You got to wear a suit.
But the point is, now back to Savino Veritas, which we still don't. We don't have an exact date, but I think he's ready to. You're ready to blast off any time from what we heard.
I think in November sometime.
Okay. And so there you have it, people. November. This Thursday night, the Thursday night internet radio schedule, certainly here on SRN, I don't know if anywhere else, will balloon. It will elongate. It will blossom. It will... It ate my balls.
The Thursday night programming ate my balls.
Tom Savino will now join the cast.
Tom Savino ate my balls.
The meatballs. Ebola. And I thought that was cool because it's like Ebola. You know, it talks about it. Ebola macaroni. That's how they used to say it. Like an Ebola. Had Ebola macaroni. Ebola. And they would use, and they would say the, they would use the E as an A.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of E's were A's, right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got that email. And I sent them an email. It's email. Yeah, right. Email. And Emil was the name of a guy. Remember Emil? Emil Scorsese. Yeah, he used to collect garbage.
He was Emil.
I've told many of those stories on this show. There was a bunch of crazy characters back there. We've done a couple of Brooklyn shows.
When I was in the city just recently, Frank, we passed a school. It was PS something or another. And I just automatically thought that's where you went because I remembered it was PS something.
No, there were PSs then, everywhere.
Yeah, but then I was like, oh.
He didn't know the number. He was like,
oh, there's Frank School.
You see how legends get started?
But then I was like, oh, whoops, we're not in Copenhagen.
It's PS something. He went to PS something, right. This is like Brooklyn, the third largest city in the world, okay? He went to that school, didn't he? It's like the people who sold. Remember, Tom, remember the beginning, we picked up to Hollywood and it were people who sold. They sold the maps. To stars' homes, and all they were fake. They didn't know who lived where. They just had the thing, and they had people. They sold the map, and then people were driving around Beverly Hills and going up these streets they shouldn't go up in Bel Air. And then oh look, there's Dean. Yeah, that is Dean Martin's house. There's it. You know, see, no, you know.
I corrected myself. I was like, wait a minute, we're not in Bensonhurst, so that can't be it.
That was actually a great scam. Who thought of that one, huh?
Yeah, that's a good scam.
Scams are, you know, good scams. You know, in order to not be fooled by a scam, you got to know how to scam people, right?
Yeah.
The best way to know is to, what? What did I say? You know, best detective. That's why they get criminals. That's why they turn guys over.
They become investigators. The best investigators are the crooks.
Right. Now, as we were talking about, okay, so we'll be telling you, of course, as time goes on. And time will go on, even though it doesn't. That's just a perception. Time, it's always now. And right now, we're telling you that in time, when time becomes now, when it becomes now, the Tom Savino show will be on Savino Veritas. We'll be promoting it here and there, and we'll be fascinating guests and people and stuff. It's really got to hear it to believe it. It's not a bunch of jokes like that that just happen to be the kind of thing Tom does. You know, he breaks it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So would you just like, but they'll be there. Here at SRN, those of you who are part of the network, and we want to call it that, who are people who have internet stations, the show, if we wind up, if we, Tom figures out now how to tape every one of them. I said tape. That dates me, doesn't it? How to record each one, then the show will be available to, not live, only live at SRN, exclusively live at SRN MediaWorks. And Tom will have a 148.ca page where you can go and read crap, because I got crap. We'll put crap up. And And any of the stations out there, including... my good friends up at TrueTalkRadio.net. They are my good friends, True Talk Radio. That's where I do that. And of course, I write for the Montreal Jewish News every week, and that'll be up there. Cotolo Chronicles heard twice a day on that station for the weekdays. Then they give everybody a break over the weekend. So Tom's, to Savino Veritas, we'll tell you how it will be available for replay. And then he'll be all over the net just like us eventually. And Jeremy, you have a website. We're not going yet now too, but how's your, you got a couple of things you're involved in right now.
Sure.
What are you involved with right now?
Let's see.
Did I get the? You know what? Why do you talk? Did I get? Oh, I did get the things.
The what thing?
The names of those. I love the names of those comic store. The comedy places.
The places I played at recently.
Yeah. Well, I'll go get them. I think it's upstairs. We'll do it again. It's upstairs. It's not. You didn't write them, did you?
I have all the places I've played at on here.
Not the ones we talked about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever you want. You do?
Yeah.
We had we do this collection, Tom, of names of comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I was at.
You can say it from there. You have a very resounding voice, and you're going to clip everything. You yell. Don't yell.
I was at Grins.
You have a microphone. Okay.
This Grin. Is all within the last two or three weeks.
Okay, Grins.
I did a comedy show at Grins. The Clown Quarters. I was at the Crack Up House. I was at the Crack Up House last Tuesday. Just last night, actually, is at Nudge Nudge Wink Wink.
Wait, did you say just last night?
Just last night, I was at Nudge Nudge Wink Wink doing a set.
Oh, they could, because you could, somebody can call a club just last night.
Oh!
Write it down.
There you go. Write that one down. Please write this down!
And
we tell everyone, if there are people out there who want to start, these names are fine. If you want to start a club with these names, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Last night, I was...
wait a second, you were at Nudge Nudge Wink Wink.
Yeah, no, these two are like right down the block from each other, so I had two shows.
One said it, Nudge Nudge Wink
Wink. And then I went to Homo Sapien Ha-Ha's.
Homo Sapien Ha-Ha's, I had great sets there, I loved it.
Then last week, I was at the Hilarity Hospital. and Chuckle Castle. And then, of course, next week I'll be at Sid's Sarcasm Station. And, of course, I have my weekly set at the good old Chuckle Hut, which is the original Chuckle Hut.
The Chuckle Hut. Okay, it's great. There's great places out there. So Jeremy's on the road. These are the staples of doing sets for young comics.
It should be another one. We Fix Satires.
Oh. You better write these down. Write these down. Okay, you'll get them.
It's interesting. We were talking about all those musicians earlier and losing money because of the sharing and downloading. Because I was listening to Elton John recently, this morning. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to that song, your song, you know, that one?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't. You know that one, Tom?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, everybody should be able to download that one. I mean, after he calls it your song.
That's right.
And,
Your Honor!
Your Honor! You said it was my song!
It's your song, too, Your Honor! Your Honor!
Well, there's a
particular... I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind.
There's a particular line in that song that I just found a bit strange. It's the one where he says, if I was a sculptor...
Mm-hmm. And then again...
then again, no. I'm like, what? He just changed his mind right in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
I'm like, why don't you... Well, Elton, why don't you just leave that part about being a sculptor out of the song instead of making me listen to the rough draft of your song... I didn't buy your greatest hits to have you start doubting yourself in the middle of it.
There used to be. I've done that. I've even played the old routine, the Steve Allen routine, where you take lyrics of certain songs and you repeat, you talk without the music. You know, you recite them like poems.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how some of them just don't work without the music.
Yeah.
But he used to do in the 50s because he used to very seriously stand up and go, "Bebopalua, that's my baby." Bebabalua.
You know what I thought, though?
But you were thinking of... there must be plenty of you could do now.
After that, I thought that, obviously it's a big hit, so he got away with it. But he could get away with it. I could never get away with that as a comic, you know? I couldn't be on stage and be like, hey, man, those New York City cab drivers are annoying, right? But then again, no, they're not. I could never get away with that.
That's why, you know, he was originally a stand-up comic, John.
And he's like, this isn't working out. Let me take my same ideas and put them in a song.
Daniel, my brother. Then again, you're not really related to me at all. And it's, don't let the sun go down. I'll let it go down on you.
Stop changing your mind.
It's the circle of life. Oh, maybe it's a triangle. I don't really got it completely down here. You know, who knew he was so...
so indecisive.
Indecisive is the word. And he thinks he's entitled. But it's true.
Hey, you know, Frank, last week you sent me the link to the God Only Knows thing.
Yes.
You know? Now,
yes.
I loved it. It was great. I really loved that. That was a great production.
You know, it was voted the best song of the 60s.
Yeah, I would.
That's where that came about.
I would I would agree with that. I think, you know, but now I got the song. You sent me the link. I have equipment that I could record it. You know,
right?
And perfectly. But then I said, you know, BBC, we're doing this for contributions to something, cancer or kid cancer or something that,
right?
You know, how are you gonna not? And I said, oh fuck, you know, I was just gonna buy it, you know, because it's a donation.
Sure.
And they had me all. I couldn't do it.
Really?
It didn't go to the link right. It didn't go to the thing. I spent like 30 minutes trying to find it. Finally, I just recorded it. I was willing to give the donation, but
do you have any idea? Because that's the BBC. But yeah. Do you know, if you go to a search engine and put in BBC, you can be directed to any number of different sites. nothing to do with broadcasting. BBC stands for something else completely. And people who go to the internet, Tom's going, what is he talking about? You'll figure it out. You still there, Tom?
Yes, I am. Okay. I'm going to go.
Go to BBC.
Oh, he's searching it now.
He's searching. He goes right there. Go to BBC. Just put in BBC and see what you get beside the...
British Broadcasting.
Yeah. Anything else here?
BBC America, the biggest name in British television. BBC Bias and the Scots Referendum. BBC.
Yeah, BBC. Go ahead.
The BBC, there to inform, educate, and provoke.
Yeah.
BBC on YouTube.
Yeah, BBC on YouTube. BBC. Go ahead.
The Guardian, BBC, The Guardian. I think that was the song was on that. BBC at BBC Twitter. What am I supposed to find here?
Something that stands for BBC that that people would search and then have a lot of people would find it entertaining.
Oh yeah,
because of what it stands to mean, what it means to another audience altogether. Some of them might be British, but.
BBC News, BBC right. Motion Gallery.
Well, let Tom figure that one out later. And then those of you who do know what it's talking about.
Balls.
No, it's not balls.
Balls, balls.
No.
BBC.
But it is.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, you check it out.
Big ball cancer.
Big ball cancer. Yeah, sure. Just everybody get right. There's something you.
That's crazy.
They're probably the guys who were like the cancer experts. When they realized that, you know, you can get cancer down there, there were the guys who actually sat there when they were thinking about titling it, you know. And, of course, you know, one guy's testicular cancer. People can't even pronounce testicular.
Speaking of testicular, does BBC mean big black?
You got it, Dan. Very much.
Oh.
He finally figured it out. Did you figure it out or did you see it on your
big black one?
Did you see it?
I went to Urban Dictionary and
penis, but penis not in the word penis.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, we could say it, but I don't. I try to.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. So you go to the BBC now. Don't tell the BBC.
Now click on it.
Don't tell the BBC. Imagine going. You know, I was on the BBC once. Crazy little place. I don't know what it's like now. That's when there was a radio. What does it say? Yes. Thanks. Somebody just tweeted.
Mm-hmm.
They know what it means. Everyone knows it. Okay, know what it means. The BBC. It's more than a station. My name is Frank Attola. Man's name, don't just title the show. Tom Savino's with us. Jeremy Long is here for God knows when. I don't know when he gets a hot date and he decides not to show up. It's okay. He doesn't get paid. So it's okay, you know?
You told me to.
Yes, absolutely. You get a hot date of any sex or whatever you do. Go. I don't care. I'm getting totally, absolutely.
Like my hot date with Neil Patrick Harris?
Well, good. I don't care. You can go out with Neil Patrick Harris. I mean, he won't go out with you, though, but you would. And you can. And now, who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe that was for, you know, today it's a fist. Tomorrow, who knows? Tomorrow it's a BBC. You could both be on the BBC. That would be funny. And there's Neil Patrick Harris and Jeremy Long on the BBC.
Both of them on the BBC. Yeah.
You might remember Neil Patrick Harris from his iconic role as Doogie Howser.
And
you might remember
Jeremy Long from
Frank
from being a jerk on the JCS. What are we, JCS?
Being a jerk
on SRN, JCS.
JCS?
I don't know how far. I don't know how much more we could go with this other than to say that I think it's, once again, we're not patting ourselves on the back, but we've been here so long, nobody else has been here talking about these things from the beginning. Now that everybody is here, including all the great companies that didn't want to be here, and all, you know, everybody's on the internet, and you can't have everybody has a page. So the pioneers, and I'm not just talking about me, but I mean, you know, the poor guy who did Ate My Balls. Amuse was the first web ring. And people don't even remember web rings. There used to be web rings where one would lead to another. You know, you could go to all these different sites. This guy, there's not even a statue of him. I was doing a bad imitation of who? Lee Strasberg, and then The Godfather really? Too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's not even this is the business we have. I got a new imitation. I'm going to do it right now.
You doing it now?
Because I just do these lines every now and then.
Yeah.
We'll just roll out. We got like 10 minutes.
Jack Nicholson.
We'll roll out. My Jack Nicholson, whatever. I got a new one. By the way, Ellen, before I do this imitation, I want everybody to go to the, as soon as they can, go to the website, the betting websites that are all over. You can get them all over the world. You know, there's Ladbrokes and William Hill. These are places where you can make bets. I'm not talking about horse racing and sports events. I'm talking about where you could make bets on events.
You really? Know,
like, yeah, absolutely. Bookmakers around the world do not just take contests like that. And in England, of course, Scotland, Australia, you could bet on anything. When the royal family was going to have a kid, you could bet on, you know, what's the name of the kid. They give you odds. I want everybody to go and find out when the time comes for the Academy Awards. Michael Keaton. Now, here's how you're going to get your money. If you bet on Michael Keaton being nominated, you will get more money because it's a bigger pool of people. And if he gets nominated, you'll win. You don't have to worry if he wins. But there's this movie getting an awful lot of buzz, and they are talking Oscar. Yes, Birdman. And when they start talking Oscar, they mean business.
Yeah.
They're like, who's that? That's like Wickensteck and Steckenpeck. You know those lawyers? We mean business.
Oh.
They got called Wickensteck and Peckensteck. Wickensteck. What
we
Wicken,
mean tell them
you don't even know that. You don't even know that guy. That's like the man from Uncle. What was his name? The guy who played the man from Uncle.
Oh, the man from Uncle?
Yeah.
I watched that show.
Napoleon Solo was the character. What was that guy's name? He was an actor.
Showman and what is
this? And he does those commercials now for that. We tell him Wickersham and Chickendan. You he mean does? Business. Yeah, you mean
business. That guy?
We mean business. That's him.
The guy?
That's the guy from Man from U.N.C.L.E. Okay, I'm going to now do
David
Robert
McCallum.
Duvall. Yes, David. No, David McCallum was the Russian guy. Who played the main guy?
Isn't this you said Napoleon Solo.
Yeah. Who was Napoleon Solo? Who played Napoleon Solo?
It wasn't David McCallum?
No, it was Robert something. Was his name Robert something?
Robert Vaughn.
Robert Vaughn. You mean business.
Oh, that's him?
Yeah, that's Robert Vaughn. And tell him, you mean business. Yeah, well, you'd like to get some business. Yeah, this is what he's doing. Unless he might have money.
And please check out my show.
My podcast.
David McCollum, you're right, was Ilya Kuryakin.
He played the Russian guy, yeah, man from Uncle. Does anybody know what Uncle, remember what Uncle stood for?
It was an acronym. Uncle. United.
Oh, you're looking it up.
It is United, though, isn't it?
It's United.
United.
It's nothing like BBC.
Napalm.
No, it's United Network Command for Law and Enforcement.
Really? Wow. You remember that?
Yeah. Wasn't that ridiculous, the things I remember? Here's my imitation.
You can't remember Donnie Brasco.
I know. I remember Donnie Brasco. Dennis Darknose. It's amazing how but I remember that. Yeah, stupid things. Here goes Robert Duvall. Speaking of Robert Duvall, who incidentally ate my balls from The Godfather. Right. When they're from the scene where they're trying to decide where the meeting between Michael Corleone, which you played that on your show, the part about the meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's Robert Duvall when they're all eating Chinese food at the table. Here's Robert Duvall when one of the guys says, and this is not an imitation, one of the guys at the table says, why doesn't Michael just come out with guns a-blazing? You know, wherever they are, and just shoot them in the car, you know, because they don't know where they're going to go have this meeting. And Robert Duvall goes with some Chinese food in his car. He says, and this guy, they're going to kill a Solozzo, right? Wasn't that his name?
Solozzo. Yeah, Solozzo.
And Robert Duvall gets mad at Sonny. When Sonny goes, why don't you just come out shooting and shooting? And Sonny goes, Solozzo might not even be in the car, Sonny!
That's good.
You heard it, right? Right?
That's good.
Solozzo might not even be in the car, Sonny.
That's a mighty fine impression.
But the main, you know, I don't understand people who do impressions. How do they do more? I mean, like,
Frank can always do.
You do Robert Duvall, don't you, Frank? Yeah, I do one line, you know.
Yeah.
That's like me. I can do SpongeBob, but just his laugh.
Really? Do the SpongeBob laugh for us. Well, I don't even remember it. Tom, you used to do a great Paul McCartney, didn't you?
No, no, don't let me do it. No.
Who do you? Do you? I don't remember you doing anybody. You could do. I don't remember you doing any funny.
I used to do.
Did you do?
Oh man, who the Odd Couple guy?
Jack
for the movie.
Oh, who was in the movie?
Why? What's wrong with us?
Leaves little rings on the table.
Walter Matthau.
Oh, yeah.
Walter Matthau. He's all rings around the table. See, I don't sound like him. I sound like, that's the other one. Hey, wait. You did all that stuff about It's a Wonderful Life, right? Your money is in Mr. Polly's house, and your money's over in Mr. Polly's, and yet your money's in my pocket. That's supposed to be Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
your money's in Mr. Polly's house, and your dollars are in.
Why hasn't Nicolas Cage won an Oscar?
That's right. He did get there. Yeah, you do a couple. That's a good Nicolas Cage. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Why? I was in Con Air and I didn't win an Oscar.
Yeah, you won it. You did win an Oscar, though.
Did he?
He won it for Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh.
So there you go. He won for Best Actor, Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, the one
also,
nobody cares about.
No, it's a good movie. And what's it? Because what's her name's in it?
Oh.
It's not the Fonda girl, the other one. I always get her mixed up. The Fonda girl, Jane Fonda, the other Fonda. What? What, he said, oh, go
Bridget,
look at
Bridget.
Bridget. It's not Bridget, though.
No.
Which
one is it?
Who was in it? What was her name? Go to IDBM.
Oh, we have to go up there for that.
What? I'll just go Leaving Las Vegas. Let's just put in Leaving Las Vegas trailer. His it wasn't Sheryl Crow. Trailer.
That's the soundtrack.
No, that was the movie. That was the song. Here she. This is her. That's her right there. Elizabeth Button. No,
Elizabeth Shue.
Shue. That's it. I said Button.
Yeah.
Elizabeth. Nicolas Cage.
Shue. Within my movie.
And what if he's talking to Christopher Cross?
Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris Walken! Will you be in my new film?
Well, I don't know, Nick. I've got so many projects at hand that I don't know if I have the time to be in your
movie. Excellent. Didn't know you had this talent.
And he goes, this Cage might not even be in a movie, Sonny!
He better not be.
I know, we just hit
an opportunity. Was like,
oh, this is like vaudeville. We turned it
I'll over. Be in a movie.
What do we care? We're not getting a penny for this, and we're not giving you a penny for it.
Al Pacino goes,
Al Pacino ate my balls. Hey, Al Pacino. Here's Al Pacino. Here's Al Pacino from the same scene. No, from the scene where he says he's going to kill him. You ready? Now, remember, he got Sterling Hayden played the cop who punched him in the face. Later, he kills him, too?
Yeah. Yes, he did.
And James Conner, who I can't imitate, says something to him like, hey, what are you doing? Is there something personal? He goes, it's not personal. He says, all of a sudden, you're taking this personal. You get punched in the face. You're taking it personal. And Michael Corleone goes, it's not personal, Sonny. Strictly business.
You're taking it personal. You're taking it personal. Everyone in this is taking it personal.
Hoo-ah! This has turned into a complete disaster here. I'm sure everyone is. What do you want to do here? Play it?
No. I want to do something.
He wants to show us something? This has turned into a complete disaster. I'm actually holding the microphone now because of that. This is Cthulhu Chronicles. We're very close to ending this particular show. And we hope that whatever you do out there, we want you to make some money over it. What? I got to hear SpongeBob laugh?
Well, you said you didn't remember it.
No, I don't remember. Let's play it here.
Bert. Maybe it's the way you're dressed. Maybe it's your voice.
Good one.
SpongeBob might not even be in the cartoon, Sonny!
Why is SpongeBob getting more gifts than Nicolas Cage?
So the thing is, to get one line, and then just do a whole bunch of lines that same way. That's the only way I can imitate him. I can't do Robert Duvall and Tender Mercies. I can't do Robert Duvall in the... Did you ever see Assassination Tango? Brilliant, beautiful movie.
You know who else is in that? Sean Connery.
Sean Connery's not in Assassination. No, you don't know your movies.
Yes, he was.
You don't know your movies from your cartoon characters. No, he was not.
Wasn't SpongeBob in Assassination Tango?
SpongeBob, there might not even be in Assassination Tango, Sonny!
Why wasn't I in Assassination Tango?
This is Cthulhu Chronicles, and it and pretty much almost has been. We're gonna so you stay around. Don't keep Tom long now because he's gotta eat afterwards. And
he just sent me an email, and I gotta talk to him about.
Okay, so that's personal stuff. Next week, Dr. Karen Wyatt come by. We'll tell you all about it. CthulhuChronicles.blogspot.com. Is where you go to find out about that. You could get Tom Savino at TJ Savino Twitter.
Yes, TJ Savino Twitter.
Jeremy is Dr. Jeremy Long or something.
Doctor,
was it? Jeremy.
At Jeremy Long MD.
At Jeremy Long MD. And what else? You know, the other thing is, what is the other thing?
Facebook.
World, except to Tom's not on Facebook, but other people are there. And all other people, and we'll be, but we will definitely be here. Hopefully, everything goes right. We'll be back again next week, the same time, same channel here, and so
I
we'll
won't
be no, not next week. You won't be.
But the following week, I will.
Hey, what week? And thus the theme comes up. Bon Fry by one of the Bach boys. Thank you, Tom, again for.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure. It was really fun.
For being here. And Jeremy, we'll be back. I won't be here next week. I'll be here with Dr. Karen Wyatt. And Dr. Karen Wyatt might not be in the program, Frank. No, she'll be here.
ABCDEFG.
It's Strictly Entertainment. Next precursor. Strictly Entertainment.
There's that one movie where Nicolas Cage just goes through the whole alphabet.
Crazy. Crazy bastard.
It's like,
you file it under the correct letter of the alphabet.
And he just goes through the whole alphabet.
All right. So that's the deal. Well, good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located at any given time. Don't forget, go to Amazon.com. Keep buying License and Skill, for God's sake. Put it on your smartphone.
Finally get made into a movie if you keep buying.
Yeah, if you keep buying it, we may finally make it into a movie. And don't forget, we'll be keeping you up to date on more Molotov memoirs coming soon.
Check out, keep your eye out for the film Director's Cut, written and starring Penn Jillette. I'm an executive producer on that movie. We just got done filming in New York City, and it's in post-production. Should be out soon.
Great. I bet you can't wait till those royalty checks start falling in.
Download it for free.
Royalty checks might not even be in the mail, sonny. We'll see you now, because everybody all together, we have nothing more to say.